You may want to buy a home. You may want to sell your home. But no matter what, you have questions.
How much are closing costs?
What's a WDO?
Can I talk to the appraiser?
How long does
Who
it
pays
take
for a realtor?
Do I need a pre-approval
How do I
before
file
we start?
So win mitigation.
How do I pick a realtor?
Time to sell my house.
Your questions have answers. This is the Talking All Things Real Estate Podcast with your host, Dora, the Real Estate Explorer.
Welcome 2021 and welcome all my listeners. Today we're talking multiple offers and how to get your offer accepted. This has been such a competitive market that we've been in 2020, despite the pandemic and all the political discord. We still saw low interest rates, which were driving buyers to try and find that right property for them. The problem with that was interest rates were low, but inventory is low too. Here in Central Florida, 10,000 active listings is kind of a healthy market for us, and we have been about half of that. In fact, the end of December, we ended up below 5,000, which we typically kind of dip in inventory around the holidays. So that's starting to increase. Here we are, you know, the second week of January, third week of January. However, they're expecting 2021 to bring much of the same. Hopefully not the pandemic and the political discord, but much the same as far as real estate. Lower inventory, homes that are priced great and in great condition are getting snapped up quickly. Hopefully interest rates will still stay in those high twos, low threes, which is still fantastic.
They're likely to tick up a little bit as the economy gets stronger, but it's still going to be relatively low for the foreseeable future.
We think so. So today what I want to talk about is how to get your offer accepted. And I just had a property, and the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because I just had a property in the Soto district, which for those of you that don't know what Soto means.
Hip enough to know that.
It means south of downtown Orlando, south of downtown Orlando. And so I had a cute little 3-2 single family home with a fenced yard, and the sellers had just done a beautiful job updating it. Not only the flooring and getting rid of popcorn ceilings and new painting, but they also did the big things. They got a new roof. They had a new AC. So they did the important costly items, new windows as well. That home went on the market on Friday, and within an hour, I had two showings. We had eight showings the following day and four or five after that, multiple offers, ended up getting a full price offer. So that's the craziness. And so I want to talk about some strategies that if you are looking for a home, these are strategies I use for my buyers, especially in a multiple offer situation. Everybody wants
How do they
deal.
Know that you kind of have an idea it's going to be multiple offers?
You can tell sometimes by the price point, which here in Central Florida, probably anything below $350, there's a good chance it's going to be in a multiple offer situation if it's nice and in a great location, because there's just so many buyers in that price point. But what I do is I call the listing agent and or text her before I'm even going to show it. Do you have offers? Are you negotiating an offer? So I ask right out of the gate. I want to know so that I can let the buyer know if we like it, if you love it, we don't have time to waste.
So what if the agent says, yes, we've had a lot of activity and I expect offers that are coming?
I say, thanks, I appreciate it. When is the seller making a decision? So that I know the deadline. So getting that.
So you'll still go out and go see preview that property?
Oh, sure. If I have time, if they say we've already verbally accepted an offer and we're getting signatures, then I might even push a little bit further sometimes and say, well, I have a conventional buyer or I have a cash buyer. Is there still time for me to show it and possibly present an offer? You have to be a little bit pushy in this market. You do. So a lot of times if I have a strong buyer, I'm going to push back a little bit. But here's some strategies that I use. Number one, what I just said is I reach out right away and find out, have they had activity? Have they had offers? Even properties that have been sitting on the market for a while, there's a good chance they've had offers, probably declined those offers, but now maybe the seller's rethinking, or I want to find out what the past has been, if it's been on the market, you know, for more than 30 days.
So what a deals that have gone fallen through for whatever reason,
either the financing report, either the inspection report blew it up, or they came back and asked for repairs. There are things that a listing agent will tell you. You just have to ask. Okay. So I want to know what the past has been. But one really important strategy is, if you love the house, be totally prepared when you see that house with a strong pre-approval letter from a lender, that especially on the weekend, when, you know, if you're looking on a Saturday and you don't have that pre-approval letter ready to go, I advise buyers, there's nothing I can do. Right. I'm not going to write an offer without a pre-approval letter, because no serious listing agent is going to consider that. So you need that pre-approval letter as strong.
But you generally, when you start looking for your buyers, you know that they are pre-approved.
I do. Yes, but you'd be shocked. Out of the multiple offers that I received over the weekend, at least one of them did not have the pre-approval letter attached to the offer. So I'm supposed to, I guess, assume that they really have a pre-approval and that they're going to get that to me. That offer doesn't even get, you know, much consideration. Right. Especially when you have other offers. Now, if that was the only offer we had on the table, then we might say, hey, we're interested in accepting your offer pending you providing a pre-approval letter for us. And they might say, well, I can't get that to you until Monday. But it's a poor strategy to submit an offer without that. I always tell my buyers, really try, in a multiple offer situation, you need to come out with your highest and best offer out of the gate. Everybody likes a deal. I get it. And if you're the only offer on the table, chances are you've got more negotiating power. But in a multiple offer situation, come out with your highest and best right out of the gate. And I've had buyers tell me sometimes, well, let's just offer a little less, and then they'll come back to us and counter, won't they? No, not always. Well, won't they ask us for highest and best? No, not always. A seller can do whatever they want. They can just choose one, they can choose none, or they can go back to everybody and say, please provide your highest and best. But don't assume that they're going to come back and give you a counter. Don't assume that you're going to have that second opportunity to raise your offer.
I find it amusing when you say, well, somebody wanted to offer $2,000 less. I mean, when you think over 30 years, it's $2,000 silly. Is $12 a month.
It's silly. You're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. So highest and best right out of the gate. Another strategy that's becoming more popular is, you know, sellers have their own closing costs, doc stamps on the deed, title insurance, those kinds of fees. The buyer can offer to pay for part or all of those closing costs. So let's say that someone's only qualified up to $300,000. They cannot raise their pre-approval loan amount. However, they could offer to pay some of those sellers' closing costs, because a seller, all they care about is the bottom line, is their net.
Right.
So that sometimes is a great strategy. The other thing I see a lot is I see incomplete offers come through my email. So my suggestion is, please present a complete offer right out of the gate. And this is really more for the agent, for a buyer's agent, not for the buyer. The buyer may not know, oh, there's disclosures online that we didn't complete. But ask your agent, you know, why are some of these, you know, these papers and parts of the contract blank? Shouldn't they be filled in? Yes, absolutely. A complete contract and all disclosures and addendums should be with your offer, with your prequal.
No, but that's most times the agent's responsibility.
That's the agent's responsibility.
So the buyer really, 100%,
but I'm just trying to educate buyers that this is part of what your agent should be doing for you. And if you're writing offers and you're making offers and you keep losing them, there's a reason.
Not all agents are the same.
They're not the same. No. And sloppy offers, oftentimes, I remember back when foreclosures were a huge market for us. If those lenders would get those incomplete offers, they will tell you right out, we toss them on the floor. We're not interested. If you don't follow the instructions, then we're going to toss it on the floor.
Sloppy.
So if you're losing offers over and over, that's a question that as a buyer, you might want to ask your agent. Have your agent call to find out what is the perfect seller situation. And I like to do this a lot because agent to agent, when you have that conversation and you say, hey, listen, I've got a flexible buyer. What is the perfect scenario for your seller?
The seller may need more time.
They might need more time. Right. They might say, hey, listen, we want to accept a contract, but we really don't want to close for 45 or 60 days because we want time to look for the next house. Well, if my buyer can do that and be flexible, that is a caveat that has nothing to do with the amount of the contract, but it could mean a great deal to the seller.
Right.
So I always ask, what's their perfect situation? And if we can accommodate, then we certainly want to do that. The other thing, and this just happened over the weekend as well, which I thought was such a brilliant strategy, is the buyer presented an all-cash offer so that she could win the offer. And then because cash is such a great thing for a seller because we don't have to worry about financing falling through and we don't have to worry about the appraisal. Right. So she,
or really inspections. If the roof is not quite right, you don't have to worry about a loan.
Still going to do inspections, and you should always do inspections. Right. You should, unless you are like almost like a contractor status where you can go through that house and determine, which a lot of my investors will do that. But for the average buyer, you should always get an inspection. But her strategy was she wrote a contract for a full price cash offer. And then afterwards they'll do a loan. And that allowed her to win over other offers that were almost the same price, but I had to worry about loan financing and
appraisal.
So that was a brilliant strategy. So if you know, I'm never...
So they can close and then go right back to their lender and say, okay, hey, now finance 80% or whatever.
Usually they have that in the works right away. They know that they're going to do that. But, you know, if you can pull from a source that... And you have to prove where the money's coming from, obviously, when you purchase cash. But if you can pull from a source and then put a loan on it afterwards, that is really a brilliant way to beat out other offers. So... Those are my tips for winning multiple offers. And to kind of wrap it up, I wanted to talk about a few of my active listings that are actually still on the market. One just hit this weekend, and it's a great starter home because it's a 3-2 in Longwood, actually, about 1,255 square feet. It is investor owned. They went in and put a new roof on and a new AC and new floors, new kitchen, granite countertops, new appliances, no HOA in this community, which is kind of huge and important to some people. Priced at $242. It's been on the market for a couple of days. So by the time you hear this, it might be on the market for maybe 5 days. It might already be under contract, but that's in the 32750 zip code. And one listing that I'm shocked is still on the market is up in Heathrow Grand, and it's a 3-3, only 4 years old, townhome built by Coulter Homes right there on the backside of Heathrow. So a fantastic location. You can walk to Publix, you can walk
Colonial
to
Town
Dexter's,
Park right around there.
Colonial Town Center right there. So lots of the trail, the Wekiva Trail is right there to ride your bike. Seller's relocating, and that's priced at $339. And that is, it's adorable. And, you know, only 4 years old. So call me if you want details. Thanks for listening. Talking all things multiple offers. Have a great day.